When millennials regard credit cards the way you might regard something you find on your shoe. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Millennials are avoiding credit cards. A study out today by Bankrate.com finds that younger adults, the ones who hit the workforce around the year 2000 and younger, are avoiding credit cards. That's in part because they don't want more debt beyond their student loans. Debit cards are the alternative of choice, but what about their credit rating when millennials want to borrow for maybe a house or a car? Marketplace's Dan Weissman has the story.
Janine Skoronsky is an analyst with Bankrate.com. When she looked at survey data and saw how many younger consumers were shunning credit cards, she thought she saw naivete. Then she did some interviewing.
I talked to a lot of millennials that said they were going to get credit cards, but they weren't so thrilled with it. They're like, we know we have to do this because I want to rent an apartment, or I know I have to do this because I'm getting married and I want to buy a home. But if I didn't have to, I wouldn't.
That sounds pretty smart to Mark Vassaro. He's an economist at Arkansas Tech, and he thinks millennials have figured out what economists and businesses have known for years.
Hands down, if people are using a credit card, they will spend more money.
His research showed that some consumers use debit cards to counter that tendency.
The debit card is a check on how much money I can spend.
So next time you're looking for personal finance advice, you might want to ask a millennial. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
When members of Congress get back to work in Washington today, Republicans and Democrats are expected to pass a continuing resolution to keep the government open. The lack of drama on that score is connected to the election year, as Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
When your approval rating's in the cellar, nearly 8 out of 10 Americans think Congress is doing a bad job, you want to tread lightly, particularly this close to the midterms. American University's James Thurber says that's why Congress is likely going to pass a continuing resolution on funding the government.
A continuing resolution, or a CR, which continues spending at the same level, avoids making hard choices.
This halfway approach means federal programs that are performing well don't get extra funding, and the programs that need to be eliminated keep getting cash. Brookings' Thomas Mann says it's nice to have a year without the threat of a government shutdown, but he suggests we should guard against any sense of optimism.
What it really is just another indicator of how our government can no longer work when power is divided between the two parties.
Mann says, given the general dysfunction, the good news is Congress isn't expected to do much else. Members have their sights set on the campaign trail. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Now to a Mitchell Hartman feature about the growth of Latin music among non-Hispanic people. With the Latin Grammy nominations on the way later this month, here's Mitchell.
Google, I want to go salsa dancing tonight for any major American city, and you're likely to turn up a place like this. It's a popular club in Los Angeles that's packed several nights a week with dancers spinning, dipping, and flipping their partners across the floor. Learning to do this flashy, athletic, and intimate dance form takes time and money. Sarah Riddle owns the Viscount Studio in Portland, Oregon. She's done a good business teaching salsa to Latinos and others, even through the recession.
People are struggling, and they want to spend money on things that feel good. And so there's an increase in that market.
The Latin market, not just salsa from the Caribbean, but also Mexican regional music, is one of the bright spots for the industry. Latin digital music sales were up twice as much as the rest of the market last year. Consultant Peggy Dold says the Hispanic market skews young. Latinos listen to radio, use online streaming services like Pandora, watch music and dance videos more than other ethnic groups. And the music itself plays a part.
It's incredibly seductive. I mean, it's so rhythmic. Nobody can not move when you hear, phenomenally played salsa music.
Salsa is now expanding across the U.S. and overseas, with flashy competitions hosted in Japan, Germany, Morocco. In Portland, Oregon recently, partner teams from as far away as Idaho and British Columbia spent hundreds of dollars on travel and sequined costumes to compete. The Latin rap artist Carcelo was in town from New York showcasing his urban salsa, a crossover genre.
So now we're taking salsa to a pop culture level by English rapping, but with traditional salsa music. Salsa is here to stay, and it's going to just get bigger.
At a time when the music market overall is struggling, that's one sweet note for the industry. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Mitchell there has been a friend of mine and colleague here at Marketplace for many years, but I still don't have the nerve to raise the issue of the hat he wears when he dances. Attached to the digital version of that story is a video of that hat in action, and maybe you can say something to Mitchell. It's at marketplace.org, or maybe I'm wrong and you'll think he really owns it. I don't know. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.